The Utah State Legislature begins today with many new faces. Clean air advocates file a lawsuit against the EPA, and Congressman Jim Matheson introduces legislation to limit kids' access to violent video games. You're listening to the KUER News Pod for Monday, January 28th. I'm Brian Grimmett.
From KUER News in Salt Lake City, I'm Dan Bomas. The Utah legislature opens its general session this morning with a lot of new faces. 21 out of 75 members of the Utah House of Representatives are serving their first terms, along with 4 out of the 29 members of the state Senate. Republicans still far outnumber Democrats in the legislature. In fact, there are only 14 Democrats left in the House. But among those new members, there could be a few more moderate voices. Lee Davidson is part of the Salt Lake Tribune's team covering the legislative session. He says some of the legislators who won't be there this time were among the most conservative voices at the Capitol.
Bill Wright, Merlin Newbold, four of the five founders of the Patrick Henry Caucus ran for higher office. They all lost. Wimmer and Sandstrom ran for Congress and lost. Chris Herod ran for the Senate, lost. Ken Sumption ran for governor, lost. Craig Frank ran for the state Senate out of the House and lost. A lot of them attribute that to something they call the Hatch Effect. A couple of years ago, when Senator Bob Bennett was ousted in the convention, it was mainly from very conservative folks who had run to be state delegates. Orrin Hatch didn't want to suffer the same fate, so he spent millions of dollars to recruit people who were less conservative as state delegates. And the LDS Church, among others, encouraged more people to come out to mass meetings or caucuses, become state delegates, and the attendance went way up, and they elected a lot of new delegates, and they tended to be much more moderate.
Dana Layton is an event producer, a business owner, and Republican from the south end of Orem who won a primary contest in District 60 against an incumbent legislator, Brad Daw. She says Utah County is still a pretty conservative place, but the big turnout early in the political process made a difference.
I remember going to my first caucus meeting, and there might have been literally 20 people in someone's living room. And at our caucus, we had over 200 people in attendance. And so I think that what you're going to see is that the people who were elected are more representative of the people who elected them.
Kevin Stratton is another new member of the legislature. He's from the north end of Orem. He's a Republican businessman and attorney who was appointed to fill the vacancy left when Stephen Sandstrom resigned from the House. Stratton believes the state of Utah is right to stand up to the federal government in claiming sovereignty over federal public land.
What you're seeking is a declaratory judgment from the courts. And the declaratory judgment is you're asking the courts to require that the parties to a contract fulfill their responsibilities to that contract. And really, it's a breach of contract by the federal, by our federal government not to allow that process to take place as they contracted to do when the state was formed.
Both Layton and Stratton see public education as the most difficult funding challenge the state is facing. Here again, Layton sees federal government intrusion as a threat.
Honestly, unless we get more access to our public lands and more revenue like some other states have, it's always going to be a challenge because we have basically a consumption-based budget. I mean, the state's budget is volatile, so every year, they're depending on how the economy's going and how big the pie is, people are going to be fighting over those different portions. And I think the real threat to education that I don't hear a lot of people talking about is the Affordable Care Act. With the direction healthcare is going, we're going to see state healthcare costs go up significantly over time to the point where we will not be able to fund both.
Stratton also believes state and local governments go beyond their constitutional responsibilities and need to be reined in once in a while. The example he cites is the high-speed internet infrastructure that has cost its member cities millions to support.
A specific example would be Utopia right now. That's a significant challenge and drain on our public finances. There's an opportunity to have that need met by the private sector. Sometimes it's helpful to have partnerships. with the private sector and the public sector, but that's an area that I think we're dealing with.
Both new legislators say they're excited to get to work in the session that opens today.
I'm looking forward to picking up stones that I haven't picked up before and looking underneath and finding out what's there in looking at issues. We all come into politics with different opinions, different inclinations, but I'm really looking forward to understanding the budget thoroughly, understanding the taxation and revenue sources, understanding why it gets spent, where it does, and just I'm looking forward to the intellectual debate, to the interactions, and what I hope I can add to it is just perhaps a different way of looking at things.
Dana Layton is a new Republican legislator from District 60 in Orem. Kevin Stratton represents District 48, also in Orem. They are among 21 members of the Utah House of Representatives beginning their first session today. Dan Bomas, KUER News.
Clean air advocates filed a legal challenge Friday against the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, claiming a new policy allows some coal-fired power plants to continue releasing haze-causing pollutants in Utah, New Mexico, and Wyoming. Environmental organization Heal Utah was one of the groups who filed the challenge with the U.S. Court of Appeals for the 10th Circuit in Denver. KUER's Andrea Smartin has more.
The EPA's air pollution plan is designed to restore clear skies over the country's national parks and wilderness areas. But Heal Utah's policy director, Matt Pacenza, says the plan does not do enough to limit sulfur dioxide emissions.
Not only is Utah not doing enough to clean up pollution from its coal power plants, but the EPA is failing to make Utah do that. So once the EPA approved Utah's plan, specifically for sulfur dioxides from coal power plants, we felt like we had no choice but to try to go to court and seek relief and hopefully end up in a situation where we're putting the best possible pollution control technologies on our coal plants.
Pacenza acknowledges that states have come a long way on cleaning up pollution from coal power plants, but he says Utah should do more to employ the safest and best pollution control technologies available. Andrea Smartin, KUER News.
Utah Congressman Jim Matheson has introduced legislation requiring ratings on video games. His bill would also require vendors to check ID for those buying video games with adult or mature content. Critics say Matheson's proposal violates the First Amendment. They include the Entertainment Software Association, which represents video game publishers, who called Matheson's proposal unconstitutional. Matheson said he doesn't think children should be buying games with extreme violent or sexual content, especially if the industry itself is recommending they're not appropriate for those under 17 or 18. The air pollution that smothered mountain valleys in northern Utah for more than a week has made a dramatic improvement. PM2.5 particulates are well below the federal standard in the counties of the Wasatch Front and in Cache County. But state regulators say the dirty air could return within days, and they are keeping a ban on wood burning in place. The Canyon School District will pay $100,000 to settle a complaint of racial abuse brought by a former student at Alta High School. Anthony Armstrong was a member of the football team at Alta. He says other students used racial slurs and once threatened him with a noose made out of athletic tape. His case was discovered as investigators looked into another complaint of racist behavior at the school. Canyon School District spokeswoman Jennifer Toomer Cook told the Salt Lake Tribune that officials moved swiftly and took appropriate action when they learned of the events. And finally, the dramatic film Fruitvale and the documentary Blood Brother won audience awards and grand jury prizes Saturday at the Sundance Film Festival. Fruitvale tells the true story of Oscar Grant, who was 22 years old, when he was shot and killed in a public transit station in Oakland, California. 26-year-old first-time filmmaker Ryan Coogler wrote and directed the dramatic narrative. Blood Brother follows a young American, Rocky, who moved to India to work with orphans infected with HIV. And that is your KUER News Pod for Monday, January 28th. For the latest news and updates from around the state, check out our new free smartphone app that you can download for your iPhone or Android device. Until next time, I'm Brian Grimmett.